This is Jim Inkster coming today. We'll visit with Lewis Loring Carter. He turns 90 years old in a couple of days. He was on the air back in 1980, January 18th, when WRKF premiered. Lewis Carter at that time was a young man of 56. We'll talk with him about his remarkable career and life, Lou Carter. Also on the show, a discussion about City Park. Rolf McCollister's back at it again. The publisher of the Baton Rouge Business Report is calling for the destruction of the fabled golf course at City Park. He says it's a crappy golf course, and he says development would be an enhancement, and he has a lot of people who agree with him, and some, of course, who do not. So we'll talk about the golf course or the Rolf course when we return after this brief timeout for the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Kevin Gallagher is producing. And if you'd like to call, we invite your participation. 297-5633 is the local number outside Baton Rouge. 877-217-5757. Toll free. And you may reach us online, inkstershow@wrkf.org. In just a bit, we will hear from Lewis Loring Carter, a man who's been a fixture at WRKF for over three decades and has had a long and distinguished career in radio. And Mr. Carter will be celebrating birthday number 90 this Wednesday. In studio to begin our discussion today, Millard Callicott, who lives in the City Park area and is a defender of the status quo and the golf course and the way things are. And Fairleigh Cook Jackson, who was with us last week, who's involved in many artistic endeavors, now with the LSU Museum of Art, who is on the forefront as a mover and shaker and young person for change. And she believes that this time around, Rolf McCollister, the publisher of the Baton Rouge Business Report, is on the right track, saying the golf course should go and that the Rolf course should change its place or take its place. Good morning. Why do you think we need change, Fairleigh?
Well, you know, I think when we look at what percentage of our community is being served in the current state of City Park, we're missing a lot of potential there. You know, there's a small percentage of our community that actually plays golf. And then there's a small percentage of our community that plays golf at that golf course. And the numbers have been declining over the years. And every great city has great green space. And unfortunately, that is something that our city is seriously lacking. And, you know, as someone who's been involved in the creative community for quite some time now, I'm a little sick of going to the same festivals over and over again because we seem to have this one location downtown that serves that purpose. And while Davis did a wonderful job with North Boulevard.
Davis?
Town Square.
Davis Rohrer?
Yes. I'm calling him by his first name.
Not Jefferson Davis.
No, not Jefferson Davis. Obviously not.
Well,
I think we're in need of a better community.
And you
place.
Think the City Park area would suffice?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful, wonderful place with lots of potential.
Well, it's a golf course that's been around for a very long time. And Millard Callicott, who has been in the area for most of his life, but he has lived in this area for a few years, has a different point of view. Why do you think we should keep things pretty much the way they are?
Well, I think Baton Rouge has a gym in City Park, and when you hear some of the debate over the last month, it has been positioned that City Park isn't for everyone. City Park has offerings for just about everything out there. If you're a dog lover, we have it. If you're a tennis lover, we have it. If you like to play golf, we have it. There's plenty of existing green space that goes unused. Mm-hmm. We have an art gallery. And when you look at the master plan that Breck has put together, there's 26 acres of golf and in 156-acre park and 50 acres being the lake. Mm-hmm. So when you look at what Breck did years ago in the renovation for player development, City Park serves that purpose. The declining of rounds, I think, is a product of player development. Those rounds are migrating to Webb Park and LSU Golf Course. Webb Park is at an all-time high at 32,000 rounds. And although you look at the rounds that have declined, the golf course does bring in north of $300,000 of revenue and $50,000 worth of profit that serves the rest of the park.
Last year, there were reportedly 16,335 rounds at City Park. My friend Ted Castillo, the retired sports writer, the Prep Talker, reports this. So there are a lot of people playing golf there, but the golf course has been denigrated by many, and I'm using Rolf's words. He has described it on more than one occasion in print in his fine publication as being a, quote, crappy nine-hole golf course. Dumpy is another word he has used. Is it a terrible course for you're obviously an avid golfer?
Yeah, so I'm a career Brett golfer. I grew up playing at Webb and City, and walked on at LSU. Was a PGA Pro Club Pro at Sherwood Forest Golf Course after college, and the condition of the course could be better. As with many municipal golf courses, golf pays the bills in a lot of cities for public access. And unfortunately, the revenue that golf courses bring in, most of the dollars do not go back into it, and they're spread throughout the other parts citywide. So if they would put more of the money that the course generates into the property, I think they could increase the play. And when you look at the trends from the first quarter of this year, play is back up 5%, and the trends are running about 17,300 this year, and we look forward to growing that number.
It's par 32, isn't it? For
it is. It was redeveloped in 2007 from a traditional 36 par, two par fives, two par threes, the rest par fours, typical layout. It had 32,000 rounds prior to the redesign. So the golf purists in Baton Rouge rejected the redesign for player development.
That could be changed.
But it the way it is now, it gets plenty of play. Since this debate has come about, I've been driving by quite often, and you know, the course and the lot seems about 80% full. One thing that people don't realize is that Baton Rouge High and some of the other surrounding schools use it during the day for their PE programs for their students. And when you look at the demographics of Mid-City and the City Park area, young, old, no matter what the demographic or socioeconomic background, everybody plays City Park.
All right. What's your best score?
In life or
no,
at City Park?
No, 32, par 32.
I've shot 29 on nine
29.
Holes.
29, yeah. Okay. 297-5633. Now, if you double that, you'd be at 58, which means you'd have the all-time record for the PGA Tour.
Right.
But the golf course is not in line with some of the great courses of the world, but it has a famous designer, doesn't it?
City Park, as a complex, not only the golf course, but the complex has a nice pedigree. It was designed in the early 20s by American Park Golf Company out of Chicago. A gentleman named Tom Bendelow designed it, the park and the course. He's the most prolific architect worldwide, over 600 courses. And some of the other courses that he's designed have gone through the same debate in Denver, their city park. Recently, they voted to keep it. And other courses have held major championships, including Medina last year with the Ryder Cup.
Well, Rolf McCollister has had more than 1,000 people sign a petition saying that we should do away with what we have. The nine-hole course should go, and City Park should grow in a different way. And fairly, do you take heart in the fact that there are many people in the community, young and old, liberal, conservative, maybe even black and white, who agree with you and Rolf on this?
I do. I mean, I also think that, you know, I can understand Millard's point about this being a wonderful golf course for that area. But, I mean, we're right down the street from Webb Park. I mean, so when we're saying that, you know, this is a golf course that, you know, there's another one right down the street that I think is a really wonderful.
Down the street?
Well, I mean, practically, when you're looking at the size of our city. I mean, it's not far. But I do. I think that, you know, as communities evolve, it's important for our spaces to evolve. And, you know, to entice new businesses, new visitors, residents, things like that. It's a very powerful thing to be able to show the CEO of a looking business or corporation that we have fabulous green spaces that are open to our whole community. You know, the Lieutenant Governor has just started the Louisiana Creative Communities Initiative, of which I am one of 15 coaches. I'm a deputy coach. And these exact conversations are what we need to kind of bring Louisiana, bring Baton Rouge to the forefront of businesses and top of mind to relocate here?
877-217-5757, wherever you are, for Fairly Cook Jackson and Millard Callicott on opposite sides of the golf course or the Rolf course. Mark in the Park, we begin with you. Mark, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to make several comments. You know, there have been three golf courses that have closed in the last 10 years in Baton Rouge: Briarwood, Fairwood, and Shenandoah Golf Course. And there's not enough golf courses in Baton Rouge for people to play. City Park is a great golf course for people, young, old, to go play at their own pace. They're not pushed to finish in a certain amount of time. And it would be horrible to have this golf course closed. And you talk about green space. When you come over Dalrymple on the interstate, you see green space at the golf course. And I think his plan is to put a parking lot on the number four hole. That would be all concreted.
All right, Sarah Lee, your response?
Yeah, I mean, green space is not just a simple color, it's use, you know, and so you're looking at a very small percentage of people who are able to use a golf course. So it's not really a valid argument. And as far as the parking lot goes, you know, that is a discussion that will have to be had. You know, this would change, obviously, the whole strategic plan that BREC is putting into place. It's a perfect time for this conversation. That's why it's happening. My understanding is that BREC loses a significant amount of money yearly on its golf courses. I mean, I've read $1 million a year. So, you know, it's time to evolve again. I mean, I hate to keep using that word. But and as far as the parking lot goes, I mean, this is a public conversation that's happening. So the design is all theoretical at this point and hypothetical. The Knock Knock Museum, for example, there has been discussion of, you know, if this was turned into a public park, would that museum then move down off that hill and maybe move closer to the Baton Rouge Gallery? The Baton Rouge Gallery, for example, is just an amazing, amazing gem in our community that has so much more potential than it's able to utilize or actualize because of the way that it's just sandwiched in between this green space that it can't use. So.
All right, 297-5633 if you'd like to join our discussion. Millard Callicott and Fairly Cook Jackson. And this was precipitated by a column about a month ago by Rolf McCollister, publisher of the Business Report. And he's been on this tear before, is saying we need to make Baton Rouge a progressive community and start with the golf course at City Park. And we certainly invite your contributions to the discussion. And I know people are passionate about this on both sides of the issue. Now, there would be possibly be a prospect for development amid a golf course. I suggested last week when this was originally brought up in a discussion with Roy Fletcher, actually caused by a caller or emailer, that one way to do that would be to rebuild the swimming pool. It was bricked up many years ago. The city leaders at that time decided whites and blacks shouldn't be swimming together. Wouldn't that be a progressive way to start with development at City Park? Millard Callicott?
To me, the more the better. We want more people coming to City Park. Our concern as golfers, we would love to keep it from the historical aspect and what it brings to the developmental player. But I also live in the area, and where are we going to put the people in the city of Baton Rouge on this complex? We have Highland Road Park that is a large track.
Okay. Bill on Highland Road. Bill, please be brief. You're on with Millard and Fairley.
Yes, I'm not too familiar with very many central parks, so to speak, with a railroad line running right through the middle of them. Has anyone bothered to determine the safety and access issues?
Yeah, what about the railroad? That would also be a problem with other development. You're not going to be able to move those railroad tracks. Fairly?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all part of this discussion. You know, I don't think anybody has that firm plan, and that's going to be Breck's job to come up with that. You know, it's still a space that's used by golfers, so, you know, it's a question that would just have to be.
I can just see a PGA Tour event at the City Park location and a big train barreling down.
I don't think the tour will be through anytime soon at City Park.
Probably not.
But it is an issue. Would there be a wall built around it? We're not sure. But I think Fairley and I are on common ground that we do agree right. Baton Rouge needs.
Well, we've got to take a short break, and we'll return with Millard and Fairley after this 90-second pause on 89.3 WRKM. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Fairleigh Cook Jackson and Millard Callicott on opposite sides of City Park's golf course and whether it should be restored. We're coming up on a big anniversary, aren't we, Millard?
We are. Early rounds at City Park were played in 1925, but the dedication and the opening ceremony was in 1926, so we're a dozen, 13 years away from our centennial anniversary.
Well, we got a little ways to go, but you know, a dozen years can go by pretty quickly. Brian in Steele Place. Brian, you're on with Fairleigh and with Millard. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Great discussion. I wanted to kind of come to the defense of the previous caller who said, you know, about the green space argument and the fact that the golf course takes up a pretty small portion, and seems like it's a kind of silly to get rid of the beautiful green space that is a golf course when there's, you know, certainly no infrastructure to support some kind of a giant gathering place on the open space. There's no, the roads aren't there. There is no parking. And, I just wish I would find another place to do it. City Park is such a neat part of my neighborhood. I don't want to see it go away. And I think the concerns are, there's a lot of concerns about it with safety and infrastructure and parking. And
all right. Thank you, Brian. Fairleigh.
Yeah, I mean, again, these are all the questions that are going to have to be answered. But, I mean, this is not the first time something like this has been done before. In fact, during the break, Millard and I were just talking about that. You know, it's been done before. It's got the potential right there. And as far as, you know, a park for gathering spaces, again, this is it's not, as it exists right now, it is not a park for gathering spaces. It's a place for golf. So
I would push back a little bit, though. When you look at four separate lawns that were designed for picnics and green space enjoyment, they're there. And I think we need to promote the entire park and bring people in. And when we fulfill and the demand is there where we're maxed out of usable green space, then let's talk about shutting the course down.
Diana notes that we do have music and movies on the lawn.
Absolutely. It opens actually this Saturday. Really excited about that.
So
we'll
there
be showing
is,
the
there
artists.
Is some activity, and there's that beautiful gallery there, which stands out amid the golf course. So it's not like it's a place that's not visited. You're just saying, I gather, Fairleigh, that it could be better than it is.
Absolutely. There's great potential there.
All right. 297-5633, David in Mid-City. David, you're on with Millard and with Fairleigh. Hi, David.
Good morning. I just have a couple of comments. A few years ago, the use of the park and the removal of the golf course was discussed, and they ended up keeping the golf course and redoing the part of the park that's on the other side of Dalrymple. And that park went from, its usage increased tremendously. And I just wonder if you look at the count of people that are using that space that got redone and compare it to the idea of those people using the golf course as a park instead of a golf course. It just seems to me that there would be that park would serve many, many, many more people than are playing golf on it now than the 16,000 rounds per year or whatever it is they're doing. And the city desperately needs a central park there as a gathering space.
Millard?
I don't disagree with that. I wish we could find another green space. You know, this debate has been had across the country. Memphis went through it recently. Our director, Carolyn McKnight, references White Rock Park in Dallas. You know, that's 1,500 acres that they worked with to provide that. We're talking about 26 acres, and so you take green space away to provide an infrastructure where people can park and enjoy the lakes. You know, our goal at Friends of City Park on our committee is to save the golf course as an early action item. But secondly, let's connect and find better ways to use the current space.
Kent and Zachary. Kent, good morning. You're on with Millard and Fairleigh on WRKF. Hi, Kent.
Hi. I was calling because I want to say this conversation came up pretty recently, and we put it to a vote, and the golf course won out. I'm wondering, how long ago was that, and why are we going to revisit it so soon?
The golf course was redesigned in 2007, and I think we're revisiting the issue because our friends at the Baton Rouge Business Report has raised awareness to it.
one friend, Ralph McAllister, who's a powerful guy in the community. And as I noted, he lives in another part of the city, but he has a great passion for this city, ran for mayor once, and he says we should spruce up City Park. Now, a listener, I'll get to a few emails. This is Hal. He says, why don't we move the Ruzon development to City Park? Would you like that? What do you think?
Well, on top of the intersections at Lower Perkins and East Lakeshore and Broussard, there's enough traffic through there right now.
24 hours a day. Make it like Coney Island.
Sure.
What do you think? People in the Garden District would like that?
Well, as long as we put lights up on a new driving range, I guess we'll meet in the middle.
There you go.
I want to go back to the question about why this is being revisited. I think it is because, obviously, Rolf has a very loud voice in our community. But when we watch a kind of a public entity like BREC going through a strategic planning process, it's only our right as citizens of this community to get involved and to bring up issues that have been brought up in the past. So I think that's another reason why it's kind of top of mind.
Daryl on Goodwood. Daryl, good morning. Please be brief. You're on with Fairley and with Millard.
Yeah, good morning. This is Daryl over on Goodwood.
Yeah, no, Daryl, you're on Goodwood.
All right, thank you.
That's three times. Now, we got who you are and where you are.
All right, very good.
What do you think about City Park?
I think they should leave it alone, for one thing. I think it's the only family-oriented golf course in the city that kids can play at and dads can take their kids to play at. And if you play out there, you'll see that on a regular basis. And the golf course itself only takes up 16% of the entire park, which does have canoeing, tennis, an art gallery, playground, recreation center, walking paths, bike paths. It's already a central park. The ulterior motive is to get the park, get the golf course first, destroy it, and then they're going to destroy the park itself and turn it into a business park of some sort. And that's what Ralph McAllister wants to do.
That's crazy.
Well, canoeing. I live pretty close to this area. I don't see too many canoes out there.
Talking about the space on Acadia.
Yeah, I think the Walford, the Wampold Park, where the old Baton Rouge Beach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look, if you go to breck.org and click on Brooks City Park, there's a master plan from 2008 done, and for future expansion to make the lakes more healthy, mm-hmm. and to expand it, you know, we could get more parking to enjoy the lakes around there, save the golf course. I encourage your listeners to go and take a look at this map because there's green space everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Brooks City Park, that's a name that I should be using according to another listener, and she is right. There was a very well done LPB documentary about the historic background of this park, Brooks City Park. Doing away with a golf course, does that negate the history of the course and history of the park itself?
I think that's an excellent question. In fact, that's one of my questions. A place where I guess maybe I am internally conflicted, and you know, I'm also on the board of the Mid-City Redevelopment Alliance, and while our organization as a board member, we have not come out on any stance for or against this change. We're still obviously supporting the idea of just discussion. But, you know, historical places obviously have their place and need to be preserved. But I don't understand kind of the why not change its purpose. It's still historic, but why can't you evolve with the community, again, is my question. So,
okay, 297-5633, your number. Line is open for the first time in a while. Here are a few more emails. Ben Balzer, one of our favorite emailers, writes, I live across the highway from the Gonzales Golf Course. It was closed for housing and is still an eyesore. The course was packed 24/7, but politicians claimed it wasn't. Closing it has proved to be a huge mistake. Do your guests have any take any lessons from that? Miller?
Well, you know, personally, I hate to see when golf courses close wherever they are, whether they're public or private. Golf participation has not kept up with the development over the last 30 years in Baton Rouge. But what I do see, and to Fairley's comment a second ago, you know, we need to evolve. If you look at City Park right now compared to 20 years ago, it was just a golf course. There was no lawn to do yoga. There was no plaza. There was a smaller group of tennis courts with no complex or building. There was no state-of-the-art playground across the street. There was no dog park. So City Park has evolved. It is for everyone, and we encourage everyone to come check it out.
Okay, here's another observation from Cleve. He writes that the $1 million estimated for preservation as far as the golfing ability at public courses in Baton Rouge is a bargain compared to the $2 million in tax breaks given to the Hilton downtown. That's the front page of today's paper. Millard, you're smiling.
Well, he brings an issue up that nobody's really talking about, and that is how we're going to pay for it. So if we shut the golf course down, that's $300,000 of revenue. If we had a tax base like San Francisco with Harding Park or, mm-hmm. or a large metropolitan area, this would be a different conversation. So if we open it up to the entire city, we jam them in 26 acres of green space, who's going to secure it? Who's going to pay for the maintenance? Because when the golf course superintendent and his employees go away, so does the maintenance crew for the entire park.
Ian in Mid-City. Good morning, Ian. You're on with Fairley and with Millard. Hi, Ian.
Hey, I'd just like to say, if making the golf course into a park would enable, biking path and walking path on the east side of the golf course, like where East Lakeshore Drive is, that would definitely burnish, the city park and other amenities and routes to the lakes and all that. My family uses, the East Lakeshore Drive, and if you've ever jogged or biked down that street, you would be very familiar with the heavy traffic and the needs for a sidewalk.
Absolutely. In fact, I was just having this conversation yesterday. We cannot deny that there's been great progress made in that park as far as all these developments, but there is a true lack of connectivity as well, which I think is the model that most of us are looking for that is more Central Park-like. And there is a huge section of, if you really are trying to do, a consistent, maybe more endurance-type run or walk or anything like that, where you are fighting cars, you're fighting mud puddles, you're crossing railroad tracks. So I think that's part of the discussion as well, is that that would definitely be taken into consideration.
That's a great point. The intersection that I referenced a minute ago with East Lakeshore, in the afternoons, there's mothers with strollers, there's runners, there's bikers. And if you look at the map on their website, there is plans for a future phase near City Park Lake for more parking. There is more area for trails around there. And so, from our perspective and our position at Friends of City Park Golf, mm-hmm. We embrace the other side and the debate and want to increase the amenities and offerings of City Park, but we can't do that at the golf course's peril.
In 2002, Ralph McAllister unsuccessfully petitioned to put a parish library on the golf course grounds. If there is redevelopment, the golf course goes away, would a library be part of that, or do we have enough libraries? We've got one right down the street on Terrace.
It's brand new. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Do we need another one at City Park? We got one supposedly moving into where Ruzan is, and we've got a new and improved downtown library. Is that something that's needed?
I don't see that being a part of this discussion, honestly, because of all the points that you just made, all the wonderful libraries that we have. I mean, I'm a huge library fan. I would think it would be great. But I think that, again, there's a lot more in that space that could be less cost prohibitive for our community than a library.
When you look at the idea of a master Central Park, I love the idea of it. I love the idea of a large green space where the city can congregate. Memphis went through this exercise years ago and built a 1,000-acre complex, Shelby Farms, that has music festivals. It has green space, bike trails, everything. And when you look at cities comparable to Baton Rouge and Memphis, where the interstate dictated a lot of the development through the city, we've got a beautiful park system. And it's hard to consolidate that into one.
Here's an email from Lily Petit Gallagher, who's involved with the Foundation for Historical Louisiana. It'll be interesting to see if the foundation takes a stand on this particular issue. It has before. She writes, first of all, the City Park golf course does not lose money. I would like to suggest that the City Park Golf Course is a historic gem. It's part of the community's cultural fabric. Communities around the country are preserving their historic cultural landscape, for which the City Park Golf Course is recognized. It's recognized by the U.S. Department of Interior as a historic historic cultural landscape, and is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Is only one of 19 such golf courses with similar designations. So,
I want to correct. Actually, I didn't say that that golf course loses $1 million. I said the overall Breck golf course system
loses an estimated $1 million a year, which is another listener pointed out is about half as much as the tax incentive for the Hilton downtown every year. Lewis on Goodwood. Lewis, good morning. You're on with Fairley and with Billard. Hi, Lewis.
Oh, good morning. The city park landscape is beautiful, and it provides a lovely terrain change. As soon as you start talking about development, you're adding parking, you're adding buildings, and you're going to just destroy that cityscape. The area currently is used extensively by people who are not dependent upon using their automobiles, and that's one of the beauties of it. Another aspect of this is the potential children's museum to be located there.
I think Ralph is saying let's locate it on the other side where the golf course is, if there is redevelopment.
Well, I think there's that idea of if you could move it closer to Baton Rouge Gallery and perhaps have just this public space that maybe you have a sculpture park and you can walk from the gallery to the museum. But that is all just theoretical, just being talked about.
Here's an email. We're short on time, but from John in New Roads. He says, historically, the course has existed as a buffer zone between the Thomas Delpit South Baton Rouge neighborhood and the Garden District. Let's open the green space to the minority children, for heaven's sakes.
Yes.
I applaud Rolf, writes John. City Park is a taxpayer-subsidized front yard.
Well, John, thank you for that opinion. If you've been to City Park lately, you'll see people from all different backgrounds enjoying the dog park, the playground. And I just, golfers are an easy target, but golfers pay the bills.
Allison writes, why can't the golf course be preserved and add the bike and jogging paths along with the existing other 126 acres and dredge the lakes to tie it all together?
It's a great idea.
If you're a golfer, it sounds like a great idea.
Dredging
the lake, take golf aside, the lakes are sick. If we dredged them and improved them, I think that would be great for Baton Rouge.
And you could also make the argument that maybe part of the reason our lakes are sick is because the runoff of fertilization and from our golf
I was waiting on this topic to come up. Golf courses are environmental friendly with retention ponds. When you start taking golf, and there's data all over the internet, when you take golf courses away, you increase water pollution and a lot of other issues.
Look at the explosion of some of the pads, the lily pads and all of those things. Yeah. A lot of that has been attributed
to... we'll have to resume this conversation at some point about the golf course or the Rolf course. Thank you, Millard Callicott and Fairley Cook Jackson. Back with Lou Carter in 90 seconds. This is Jim Engster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Kevin Gallagher is producing, and we're joined by a true legend in radio broadcasting who happens to be on the air in our community. He's been on the air in Baton Rouge since 1966, and he's been a fixture at WRKF since January 22nd, 1980. Actually, January 18th was the startup date for WRKF in 1980, 33 years ago, and Lewis Loring Carter was with the station from its inception, a man who was born May 22nd, 1923, so we know what that means. He will be 90 years old in a few days. Happy birthday, Lou Carter.
Thank you.
Man born in Lewiston, Maine, the town that was made famous by Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston in 1965 when Ali knocked out Liston in one round. Lou Carter was born there in 1923, 11 pounds, 8 ounces, a big guy right from the start.
Yep.
Well, Lou Carter, you served in World War II.
I served more than 3 years in World War II. My foreign service was in Europe, and I was the chairman, I guess, or the manager of the First Army's World Criminal Unit.
In England, France, Belgium, and Germany, manager of the U.S. Army's War Criminal Office, two battle stars for the Rhineland campaign from Lewis Loring Carter. His education came after the war, a B.A. in English from Syracuse and an M.A. in American Literature. His thesis, The Influence of Transcendentalism on American Literature. That's heady stuff.
Never got to do it.
Now, I've been told that your IQ has been tested, Lou Carter. You're a genius, aren't you?
My education for 29 years was aimed at, I did four majors. I completed four majors in mathematics, chemical engineering, the School of Journalism, Syracuse, and I got my degrees in American literature at Syracuse, and the last one I got was my master's, and I wrote the thesis on transcendentalism. Mm-hmm. And 2 days before I got the degree, the girl I had given the ring to gave it back. And I turned my back on Syracuse, and I turned my back on everything I had been doing. And I started out a new life at 29 years old.
At 29 years old, Lou Carter began a radio career that has spanned several decades. And he will be 90 years old in a few days. Now, you came to Baton Rouge in 1966.
Yes.
At WXOK, a station that is still around on the AM dial, a station that is very popular in the African-American community. What was that station like when you arrived here 47 years ago?
Well, we had competition from only one other radio station, and that was the one up in with the tower up in Baker.
WLCS?
Yeah, WLCS, and that was a Lamar Simmons operation. And he and I were good friends, but we were good enemies, too. Mm-hmm.
This was the XOK years, which was known as an
urban. The WXOK years went from 1966 to 1985.
And now, it was known as an urban station. Black people were very popular then and now with that station. Why was a white man from Maine chosen to run that station?
I'll tell you, when I got there in the first place, everybody was white, except for announcers, and the afternoon announcer was white, and everybody else was white. And between then and 1985, I changed it to all black. I was the only white.
How did that go over in Baton Rouge?
Well, that's the way I thought it ought to be, and that's the way it is.
But was it received well in the white community?
I don't think anybody noticed. I never got a compliment. I never got a comment on it. I don't think anybody noticed.
Well, when you left XOK after almost 20 years, you went to CKW?
Yes, 1985, I went on to WCKW, and it was, at that time, broadcasting River Parish Radio, and I changed it because it was putting a signal into New Orleans. I changed it. It became classic rock. I invented the classic rock format, and I more than tripled the income of the radio station.
Now, you, during the time you were with XOK and with CKW, you were doing your thing at RKF, and you still do. Saturday and Sunday mornings, Lou Carter is still on the air, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. It's something that you do well, and in your day, I don't think there was a more popular radio announcer in the city.
No, I don't think so, and I had more music, owned more music of more different kinds. And I gave a huge collection to the Point Coupee Historical Society back in 2001 so I could move into a condominium because I couldn't take all those records. I start off with 12,078 records and LPs and 45s. It took four Olin furniture moving vans to move all that stuff up to New Roads, and it's still up there. And it's being cataloged.
Very good. And you still have quite a collection.
Yes. Well, I put everything, most everything that I wanted, on a mini disc. I have 512 mini discs of music.
Who are your favorite singers?
I like Tony Bennett. I think in big band music, the best vocalist of the big band years was Johnny Desmond.
We hear Johnny Desmond on Lou Carter's programs on WRKF, but we hear Tony Bennett, too. Is your favorite song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco?
Yeah, Yeah, 1962.
Yeah, 51 years ago.
Yeah.
A year after the president was born, Tony Bennett was singing, I Left My Heart in San Francisco. Lou Carter, it's hard to believe you've been in Baton Rouge now for most of your 90 years. Came here in 1966, and according to my math, that's 47 years here and 43 years in other places.
Most of my audience is dead. People don't live forever. Listeners don't live forever. The people that 40 years ago I was entertaining with big band music, they're in their graves, and they haven't been replaced.
Well, does it hurt you personally when you see so many of your acquaintances and close friends, people like Ralph Sims, when they die? Does that take the starch out of you, Lou?
No, I just keep making younger friends. I miss the old people, but I keep making new friends.
Now, you still do it. As I stated, you're still doing your show every week, like clockwork. We hear Lou Carter on Saturday and Sunday.
I still do it like clockwork, and the way I do it is I record it on Monday and Tuesday mornings, and it is played on Saturday and Sunday mornings. I do not go to the station and do it live, and that gets rid of the possibility of I sleep through and don't get up.
What's your day like now? What time do you get rolling in the morning?
Well, I ordinarily get up about 6 o'clock, but I ran for 21 years from 1979 to 1999, and I covered more than 35,000 miles on the streets. And when I was 66 years old, the summer I was 66 years old, I ran 5 miles every morning, every weekday morning. Not on Wednesday, well, not on Saturday and Sunday, because that was when I was on the air. But every weekday morning, I ran 5 miles. I get up at 4 o'clock, run 5 miles, come in, the paper had arrived, and I would sit there and read the paper.
Do you think that's why you've lasted as long as you have?
Jim, I've been active all my life. I've been doing something. I've been involved in so many things. And if it's not physical, it's mental. I've been involved in a good many things. I have kept active.
Did you ever smoke?
I smoked from when I went into college in 1940 until 1966, and when I came here to Baton Rouge. There wasn't a whole lot of talk about it was bad for your health. I just wanted to drop it because it was pushing me around. It was kind of making me do it. So I had 2 cigarettes left in the package when I stopped.
And you quit and haven't smoked since.
I stopped completely from smoking a pack a day to nothing.
Good for you, Lou Carter.
Well, it worked.
Now, when you came to Baton Rouge, you had 2 young children, right? You had Keith and Kevin, who probably were 4 and 5?
Yeah, they were 3 and 4.
Okay.
They were 3 and 4 when I came here to Baton Rouge.
And then shortly thereafter, we have Carrie and Kimberly. You're into the K's.
Yeah. They can neither one remember me smoking.
Well, that's good. I hope they don't smoke either.
And then you know what happened? We had 2 girls. I got 2 boys and 2 girls, and I got 8 grandchildren.
Now, you're 90 years old, and my guess looking at you, I would say you probably weigh about 176 pounds. You've kept the weight off.
Yeah.
Most fat people don't live long lives. Do you think the fact that you've stayed lean and mean, Lou Carter, has that made you have a longer life, the fact that you've stayed in shape?
Well, I'll tell you, if you can run 5 miles a day, you're in pretty good shape. And when my peripheral neuropathy struck me in 1999, it cut into my exercise a great deal. And yet, I am still walking. My pace is now about a foot instead of a yard, but I am still
walking. You're still walking.
I'm still exercising. I'm still breathing hard. And I'm going to reach 70 in 90 years old in very good health.
Now, Edwin Edwards is 86, and he's fathering a child. You're 90 years old. People do things at your age now that would have been unthinkable a generation ago.
Well, I have very few relatives that have lived this long. I can think of 3.
You've been a Boy Scout for how long?
I have been a Boy Scout for longer than anybody else. 78 years.
Longer than anyone in the history of the Boy Scouts.
No, nobody's going to catch me for a while.
Do Do you think you'll be on the air at 100 years old?
I have visions of being the only 100-year-old disc jockey in radio. Now, as long as I can get to the radio station, the manager is going to have me on the air.
Well, he knows that you're popular. You were 33 years ago, and people still listen to Lewis Loring Carter.
Well, I think it's remarkable in a way that I have done what I have accomplished in radio when I spent the first 29 years of my life preparing to be an expert in transcendentalism and to teach it in the United States and write books and so forth. And I dropped that when I was 29 years old and started all over again.
And this was all because a girl dropped you.
Well, we were going to get married, and she broke my heart, and I couldn't stand it. And I went back home, and I worked on the farm from the end of June until the next January or February 1950, when I went to the radio school, a very good radio school. And from there, I went to Vermont, where I became the manager of the radio station. Mm-hmm. And I got a letter from Stanley Ray, who was the operating partner from Pag Ray, and he had five OK black stations, all named OK, and all had black announcers, and all, as far as I know, had white everything else. And he hired me, so I was in a position where I could change the station from white employees to black employees, and I did.
Do you believe in God?
In God? Yes.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I think I have felt his influence in my life. I have felt him in my vocation. I have felt him with the girl I married, although she divorced me in 1997. She was replaced immediately by Renee, who was my lady friend for 14 years and my fairly constant companion. I don't know. Things have gone pretty well in spite of being crippled like I am now. My mind is not crippled.
No, and you still get around.
And I still get around, and I do not notice any crippling when I am riding in the car because my body is quiet. It's not moving. When my body is moving, that I can feel the lack of balance.
You were with Renee when she died.
Yeah, that was, I haven't got over it yet. In a way, because I moved into a condominium in which she did all the decorating, and I don't know, we went to Perdido Island in Florida together. We did everything together, and, well, it was great while it lasted. Everything can't last, and I can't last, but I am going to last as long as possible.
What keeps you going?
Because I have never run into anything that would slow me down. When Marie returned the ring, it didn't slow me down. It changed my life, but I kept on going. And I have spent my life that way. Keep on going. Keep at it. Don't stop.
Well, thank you, Lou Carter. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Hef, for inviting me.
My pleasure. And we'll return with more.
Lewis Loring Carter. 90 years old this Wednesday is Lou Carter, and we wish him the best and congratulate him on a life well led and a great career in radio, and much of it spent right here on WRKF. A few more comments regarding the previous discussion about City Park. Paula Zimlicki, in a letter to the editor, says, I love Baton Rouge. I grew up here, but after living in other areas of the country and seeing how the beauty of these areas is open to all, not a privileged few, I find myself thinking about what a shame it is that City Park has not yet been transformed into a central park for Baton Rouge. Bill Huey writes, emails, he says, if the golf course is closed, the entire park comes off the National Register of Historic Places. That means it's then up for grabs. And there is a website now, in addition to the one that Rolf has, obviously, the Business Report, in which 1,000 people signed a petition saying to change the golf course. There's one to preserve the golf course, and it is Friends of CPG,
friendsofcpg.com. So the future of Brooks City Park, once again, now under discussion. And the Knock Knock Museum is coming. And Rolf says it should be where the golf course is, among other things. Of course, Rolf, 11 years ago, wanted to put a library there as well. But he's not alone in saying that it's time for a change. And this is something that will not stop with this show as far as the discussion. And we will, I'm sure, revisit it at some point down the line. We thank you for today. Tomorrow, one of the guests is Paul Dietzel, not the fabled football coach who's also been on this show, but his grandson, who has said he is running for Congress next year, trying to succeed Bill Cassidy on Capitol Hill. Until then, for Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.